Hello out there, all you people on the go and multitaskers everywhere. This is Homeschool Mom Movie Maven, and this review is on Toy Story 4. Gotta warn you, this is a long post, possibly the longest one I've ever done. But that's because I'm having to take on a iconic, classic Disney franchise of Toy Story and tell you it's bad. My short take is, despite a brilliant start, clever plot, continued great acting, wonderful cameos, and magical animation, the story abandons its own raison d'etre. Who should go? Anyone can go, but I can't recommend it for the target young audience because of very dark imagery and multiple scenes of loss and childhood trauma involving being separated from one's family and justifiable fears of a child losing her toys, which could seriously distress small children. And I can't recommend it for the older crowd because of the final message. Beyond here be spoilers for the entire Toy Story franchise. Full disclosure, again, this is my long take. This is a long post, even by my standards. But the Toy Story franchise has always been the beneficiary of some truly good writing, and the theme has always been that of family, so it breaks my heart. But I have to make the case against Toy Story 4, and that's going to take some explaining. In the first movie, the question was the choice between ego or family, when Woody's seniority and favorite status is threatened by Buzz Lightyear. Woody chose family by placing the needs of his fatherless owner Andy above his own wants and even risking his own life to rescue Buzz, his competitor, and incorporate Buzz into their group. Toy Story 2 dealt with the idea of fame versus family, when Woody has the opportunity to be admired from afar as a classic toy in a Japanese museum, but instead chooses to return to Andy, even telling Buzz that he no longer fears Andy outgrowing him because he has the family toys for infinity and beyond. Now, I know the expression is to infinity and beyond, but he says for infinity and beyond because it's, frankly, grammatically more correct under the circumstances. Toy Story 3 addresses the inevitable time when Andy, like little Jackie Paper in the song Puff the Magic Dragon, does outgrow the magic and the toys are sent to another child, Bonnie. This latest installment also involves the issue of family and continues the story of the toys with Bonnie. Every Toy Story movie has always had amazing computer animation, sterling voice acting of terrific actors, astonishingly complex characters, jokes, both obvious and inside jokes, which parents and even the youngest can understand on a variety of levels, and a complex and interesting plot. But the real brilliance of all these films has always been that the stories are really about parenthood, selflessly being there when your child needs you, even if they don't know they do, even if they do it knowing the goal is for the child to eventually not need you anymore. To be a good parent, one must choose their child's happiness, safety, and sense of security over the expediencies of the parent's own wants, desires, and even needs. Woody, the de facto dad in each of these movies, chooses to protect his toy family for the benefit of his child. And this is the way to which the ownership is referred, that the toy has a child, which is always viewed as the ultimate and Xanadu of existence for any toy. The lack of a child is always seen as a tragic circumstance, and even one which can, like in Lotso or Stinky Pete, in the Toy Stories 2 and 3, lead to a bitter expression of their baser and negative personality traits. Woody chooses to share the limelight in the first, to forego fame in the second, and accept when his child no longer needs him, but then accepts the responsibilities of another child who does in the third. Now, I know I've already given you one spoiler warning, but this is a major spoiler for Toy Story 4 in particular. Seriously, I'm going to be discussing the ending. So if you have not seen Toy Story 4 yet and want to let the story unveil itself in the movie theater, please bail out now. Also, there will be spoilers by implication for important plot points for the three or four people in the entire solar system who have not seen Peter Pan, Lion King, Aladdin, or Star Wars A New Hope. Okay, fair warning was given. First, I'm going to tell you the good stuff. While I have rarely seen a franchise manage the same quality throughout all of its films, Back to the Future being the only one that springs to mind at the moment, Toy Story seems to conquer that artistic challenge with grace and a strong sense of its own universe. The writers respect these characters and recognize the intricate personalities of each toy, especially the major players. Each has flaws and virtues. None are treated as black and white. They are very recognizably 3D human. Parts of the magic of these stories is that everyone in the audience, including the adults, can find a toy with which to identify, just as any child can in real life find a toy which speaks to them out of a well-stocked toy box. And the one overarching and abiding principle which has provided the strength and backbone to all of these toy stories is that their child means everything to the toys about whom the tale is woven. Toy Story 4 is no exception, at least not at first, and not for most of the movie. Woody steps aside as Jessie and other toys are regularly chosen as playmates over him because that is what Bonnie wants. And that's what Woody's job is, to help Bonnie. He is the only one, Woody is, who recognizes Bonnie's need for a champion and secret guardian when she is taken to kindergarten for orientation. Not even her parents seem to fully appreciate or understand that the little girl is too young to be left at an institution, and she is devastated by her separation from home. So Woody, going against everyone else's advice and the express orders of Dolly, who is titularly in charge of this particular play area, sneaks into Bonnie's backpack and secretly assists her throughout the day, proving abundantly that he was right. Woody then steps up to promote a toy given life by Bonnie's imagination and love, which is made from a spork and some art supplies. Forky's determination to be trash instead and his constant attempts to throw himself away are played for laughs, and every parent who has had to deal with a self-destructive toddler, but then I repeat myself, understands what Woody is up against. All of this is great so far, and for anyone who has raised a child to adulthood, Woody's consistent leadership, even when not wanted, and loyalty, even when not appreciated, are part of the definition of true parenthood, and Woody comes through sterling. You want kids to grow up and not need you anymore, but it is a painful process. Woody accepts that. In Woody's case, Bonnie still needs him, but doesn't even know it. They have brought to the acting table all of the previous actors. Tom Hanks as Woody, Tim Allen as Buzz Lightyear, the ubiquitous John Ratzenberger as Ham, Wally Shawn as Rex, Joan Cusack as Jessie, Annie Potts, Bo Peep, Bonnie Hunt, Dolly, and even using posthumous archival clips, the late Don Rickles as Mr. Potato Head, even dedicating the film to his memory. And in a delightful spate of celebrity castings, they have added TV legend Carol Burnett in a small part as a talking child's chair named Cheryl Burnett, the one and only incredible Mel Brooks as Meliphant Brooks, and Betty White as Bitey White. The infamous web short duo of Key and Academy Award winning Peele appear as Ducky and Bunny. Carl Apollo Creed Weathers appears as three action-adventure versions of Combat Carl, character possibly take off of real toys based on his role in Predator. The Shakespearean actor and former James Bond, Timothy Dalton, appears again in a reprising role as Mr. Pricklepants. Carl, who basically invented TV sitcoms Reiner, is the little pink Carl Rhinoceros, and saving the most surprising for last laughs is Keanu Reeves, John Wick himself, as Duke Kaboom, a Canadian based in honor of Reeves' home country, Daredevil toy. As a small digression, for anyone who has read my review of John Wick will note, I have mentioned that despite Reeves' omnipresence in bloody action flicks might otherwise suggest, Reeves' calling is as a comedian, and if this did as the voice of the wheelie posturing motorcyclist doesn't prove that, then not even Bill and Ted could have. Okay, heavy sigh, now the bad. To begin with, it is a very dark and creepy movie. I wish I could tell you that the filmmakers took this final installment to the Toy Story adventure to a brilliant conclusion, and they were so, so close. But in truth, they stumbled and fell badly at the finish line. Or perhaps it would be more accurate to say that they just quit the race altogether. I won't reveal the details of the plot journey in this part of the post, except to say that this is a darker movie than the others. Even Toy Story 3, with the accidental abandonment of the toys in Lotso's dystopian nursery, is not as unsettling as Toy Story 4. Bo Peep, for example, reemerges, but her porcelain arms have been broken and are held on by tape and occasionally fall off in a very Tim Burton-esque way. Some time is spent in an antique store which might as well have been labeled Haunted House, from the toys' point of view. In this antique store, a band of shuffling, very creepy, perpetually smiling and voiceless ventriloquist dolls protect Gabby Gabby, who's voiced by Christina Hendricks, who is the nemesis of the movie, and they provide, the ventriloquist dolls also provide jump scares, they kidnap and assault different characters, and worse, than all of this, worse than the haunted house and the ventriloquist dolls, is that Bonnie is beset, the little girl, human child, is beset constantly throughout the movie with loss. Loss of her home, because she has to go to kindergarten. Loss of securities. The other children at the kindergarten treat her with casual and sometimes cruel indifference, and her teacher doesn't do anything about it. She is constantly and repeated episodes of losing Forky, and there is a traumatic, and I mean for the observing audience as well, scene where she is beside herself over Forky's disappearance on a road trip. Now, I hope you're sitting down, but I've saved the worst for last. Woody leaves his child. The darkest parts of this toy story is Woody's decision to become a lost toy by choice. Our younger son, who went with us as an adult now, but as a child when the first one came out, mentioned he was glad they had not gone to the well again of making another toy the bad guy, as they had done with both Toy Stories 2 and 3, with Stinky Pete and Lotso, respectively. In retrospect, I'm afraid he was wrong. And I'm not talking about Gabby, who ultimately repents, but Bo Peep. Like the song about the temptress Lola in Damn Yankees, whatever Bo wants, she gets, and Woody, little man, she wants you. Bo even expresses bitterness as having never truly been played with, but ultimately rejected and discarded as an eventually unneeded nightlight. She shows her true colors in the opening scene of Toy Story 4 in a flashback event which took place 9 years before, and retroactively explains why Bo is not in Toy Story 3. When she tries to get Woody to abandon Andy with her, when Andy was still just a little boy, she's about to be given to a charity organization, and she tries to get Woody to go with her. Woody wisely resists the obvious temptation and stays with his child, Andy. But Bo finally gets her revenge through Bonnie by enticing Woody to abandon his sworn responsibilities to Bonnie, his child now, to run off with her, Bo Peep. It's a stunningly sad epitaph describing the fall of a once noble character. The narrator, in a famous Bruce Springsteen song, defiantly declares, "Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a ride and I never went back." This is all we need to know about that manure ball, that he abandoned his family because he had a hungry heart. Sorry, but that's a pathetic reason to turn your back on your kids. Your kids. Never mind breaking the most important oath he will ever make to his wife. This is an evil perpetrator that can never be fully healed. And Woody does exactly this. In the end, and contrary to everything that has gone before in all four movies, including most of Toy Story 4, Woody walks away from his heretofore all-important vocation of being his child's toy in order to stay with Bo Peep. Bonnie, his child, has not given him up. Bonnie plays with him sometimes. Bonnie knows he's around. He obviously is important to her because she obviously needs him, whether she knows it or not, and will eventually realize that Woody is gone. In the somewhat realistic universe in which Toy Story characters exist, it is even possible that Andy, who gave Woody up with great reluctance at the end of Toy Story 3, and then only because he thought Bonnie loved Woody so much, Andy might one day find out Woody has been lost. So Woody's abandonment of Bonnie is a betrayal not just of Bonnie, but of Andy as well. Also, the toys do live in a background of realism where their actions do affect the humans around them. Al from Al's Toy Barn, for example, in a previous movie, ended up near bankruptcy when he lost his valuable toys. But he could be seen to deserve it because he had stolen Woody. Bonnie's parents in this one are stopped by the police when the van they're driving moves erratically because of the toy hijinks. So when in the end of Toy Story 4, the mission of Woody, Bo, and company seems to be stealing from carnival barkers to give toys they do not own to children, this has a disastrous effect on the humans. From the horrified expression of the game attendant on which this scheme was perpetrated, this was not a good thing. His stall would not survive long, and he might even be accused of stealing the merchandise himself. I do not recall any of the toys in the other movies actually committing outright criminal larceny or other crimes, except in their own defense, if they were performing acts of self-defense. And this is not the case here. If Toy Story is a reminder to parents not to let their ego get in the way of being good parents, if Toy Story 2 is a reminder not to let the lure of fame and attraction of money, presumably representing one's job, keep them from being there for their kids, and if Toy Story 3 is a reminder to parents that one day they will have to take a step back and let their kids grow up, but perhaps parent read Grandparent, A New Generation, then what exactly is Toy Story 4 trying to tell us? Is it an excuse for the abandoning deadbeat parent? Are the Toy Story 4 filmmakers saying one should put personal romantic attachments ahead of their family, that that's okay? Is this a subtle message to imply that a dad who abandons his responsibilities for a girlfriend is all right? Is this finally an attempt at justifying behavior of the actual Hollywood culture, which is responsible for the creation of this franchise, to say that it is acceptable to leave their children behind like goose droppings or unwanted furniture for a selfish fling? Yes, Bo Peep is an old friend, but this is still not reasonable. Woody's behavior in the final moments of this four-movie franchise flies in the face of everything Woody has said, done, and believed up to now, including what he has said in this very movie, that a toy's most noble cause and purpose is to help their child. Instead, Woody, in a completely unexpected 180-degree turnaround, abandons his child, Bonnie, who is still a little girl demonstrably in need of his aid, even if it is behind the scenes, for Bo Peep, a now wild toy who he has not seen in 9 years. This is frankly an appalling and disappointing break in an established noble character. What if Simba had decided to stay in his comfy hobo existence? What if Wendy had decided to not leave Neverland with her brothers? What if Aladdin had decided to tuck Genie back into his lamp for a rainy day? I know I'm crossing universes here, but Disney owns everything now. So what if Han had decided to book it out of town with the gold in the first Star Wars and never come back? And what if Woody left his child? The Woody we know would not leave Bonnie, but he does. It's a shame that the Toy Story franchise had to end with a tagline that should have read, "And so Bonnie lived precariously, never knowing what loss she would suffer next, ever after." In this, Woody loses his conscience as well. Let me explain. Now, all this being said, my husband made a very interesting point. A lot of rather clever and playful references made about one's conscience. Woody understands the abstract concept well, but when trying to explain it to Buzz, Buzz mistakes it for his pre-programmed sayings. His electronic pull-string inner voice, which actually ends up being very appropriate and, while played for laughs, works. This was actually quite a cute way to broach this ethereal topic for a very young crowd and amuse the older people at the same time. Woody's pre-programmed voice box works perfectly. There's a snake in my boots. But the voice box of Gabby Gabby, the antagonist, does not, because she was manufactured incorrectly. Before the exchange near the end of the movie, in order to save Forky, Woody is put in a position where Gabby Gabby has Forky hostage, and she is willing to trade him for Woody's voice box. Woody's spiritual conscience works with selfless clarity of purpose. It is demonstrably working fine as he goes all by himself against everyone else's advice to go save Forky, and he's the one that, against everyone else's advice, does this correct and brave thing to go with Bonnie to kindergarten, as I've explained before. Gabby's behavior, however, indicates that broken inner voice, and her behavior stems from a desperate selfishness born of loneliness and a sense of never experiencing what non-defective dolls get. Her term used, unconditional love. After the transplant between Woody and Gabby, where he gets Gabby's broken mechanisms to run his sayings and she gets his correctly operating mechanism to run her sayings, though we never hear the defective version of Woody's pre-programmed inner voice, we get to hear Gabby's now much improved inner pull-string voice. So we know the exchange was made with Woody getting Gabby's flawed inner voice, not the words, not the sayings, obviously, but the mechanism. We quickly see a subtle but significant change in behavior in both of them. Gabby gives up a sure home to risk helping a lost child, while Woody ultimately chooses the vagabond life of a lost toy to be with his honey, Bo Peep, abandoning his fellow toys and Bonnie, the little girl who is self-described as his child. It used to be considered an abominably shameful thing to turn your back on the spouse to whom you promised fidelity and the child you produced in order to engage in selfish pursuits. Now, tragically, it is applauded, and the children left behind are treated like old furniture at a garage sale to be shuffled to whomever might still want them. For more information on the devastation that divorce leaves, even decades later, to adult children of divorced parents, you can buy at the Ruth Institute or read online for free through Amazon Kindle a copy of a lady named Lila Miller's Primal Loss. I met her at a Ruth Institute seminar. The subtitle is The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak. She is so anxious for people to get this information that she's willing to give it away free. You can go on Amazon, go to Kindle, and look for the book. It's called Primal Loss, ergo the title of this post. Back to the review, where were Jesse and Buzz? I cannot fathom why the writers think we would accept that either Jesse or Buzz would let Woody go like this. But it fits with the popular divorce routine where all the adult friends are supposed to rally around the abandoning parent and encourage them to follow their heart. And I think if I hear follow their heart used to justify another self-indulgently destructive behavior in a movie, I'm going to stand up right there in the movie theater and scream in frustration. Well, I might be carted off, but you know. While they do not actually say the phrase in the Toy Story 4, Woody certainly does it. Were the filmmakers saying they think it's okay to justify the divorce culture dad who leaves his child to start a new life with another woman, or less frequently but just as horrible, does it justify a wife who leaves to be with another man, and we're supposed to be okay with this? Or is this a subtle remonstration that those who behave in such a cruelly callous, irresponsible, and self-indulgent manner have broken inner voices, defective consciences? If the latter, it wasn't nearly made clear enough, perhaps because the writers were afraid to ruffle a few feathers whose plumage was way too close to the guilty fire on this one. I'm frankly more than a little confused, so I can only imagine the perplexing image being conveyed to the youngest members of the family to whom these movies are primarily aimed. The Toy Story we know and loved might have allowed Woody to be tempted, but one of his most trusted confidants would have slapped him, questioned his sanity, and made Woody recognize what a terrible mistake he was making. That would have been a good and fitting ending to this franchise. Anyone can be tempted. Even Jesus was tempted in the desert. It is what we fallen creatures do in the face of that temptation which separates the wheat from the chaff. And the filmmakers here in Toy Story 4 tossed every bit of goodwill the audience had invested in this character into the wind. I would rather have seen Woody destroyed or fade into inanimacy from Bonnie's loss of interest than see him betray everything for which he was created, everything he espoused and every principle he upheld for the last 24 years through the first three and most of this fourth movie. The writers led by John Lasseter and Andrew Stanton had so much going into this movie. A rich treasure of talent, an invested audience, well-developed characters, and plot background, and they gave it all away for a pottage of politically correct propaganda to help justify succumbing to the lure of romantic adventure at the expense of a small, trusting child. Shame on them. And remember, if you're listening in your car or on an iPhone, you can get the full original review, including pictures and links, especially to Lila Miller's book, at www.homeschoolmommoviemaven, that's Maven spelled with an I, MAVIN.com. And take it from a homeschool mom, education doesn't always have to come from a book. Sometimes it can come from an objective and critical evaluation of a dearly beloved franchise, even if it breaks your heart.